You'll find information on how to support Clear Vision Revival at the end of this podcast. Okay, now we're going to talk about another aspect of your spirit, soul, and body. And we're going to concentrate mostly on your soul. Now, we know that your spirit is your creativity, your revelation, and inspiration. We know that all creativity, revelation, and inspiration comes from the spiritual side of us. And we're made up of three components: the spirit, the soul, and the body. And the soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And the body is made up of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's the way the body or the flesh operates. So our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And through the spirit, we can do things that are creative. We can receive revelation that we never thought of before. And we can be inspired to create. And these all work in tandem together. And they are operational through the soul. So the spirit is the place that they form in, and they have their outward manifestation in our soul, because that's where we live. We operate in our soul. It's our personality. It's who we are. So our mind is our brain. Now, some people have more brain cells than others, but that's what your mind is. You know, you've got a T-model Ford, and you've got a Ferrari. They both are cars, but they operate differently. They have greater capacity. And the spirit can actually make your mind that's broken or has less brain cells than other people function more effectively than those who are fully functional. And your will. Now, your will is the place where, after you've deliberated on everything, you choose a path. So, on the idea of what you see and you experience in your life, you create a path to go forward, and that's your will. I will to go this way. I will to stop. I will to pray. I will to stop praying. I choose. Your choosing is your will. And God has given you free will. He has given you will where he doesn't step in. He advises you. He tries to bring you into a path that's going to be good for you. But it's up to you to choose. And God has sovereignly given you a free will. He doesn't want robots. He wants people who can think for themselves and who can desire to follow God by their own will. Your will is sovereign to you. And it's very important to God to not interfere with your will, not to step in and take the steering wheel. Now, you may say to the Lord, "Lord, help me." He'll jump in and he'll just look after you. The Lord may have you, you're not a Christian, but you're already slotted to be a Christian. You've already been called to be a child of the living God. And all through your life, you've seemed to have dodged the bullet. You've had things happen to you, but you got out of it scot-free. Somebody assisted you. Angels stepped in and provided a way of escape, because God knew the end plan was one day you were going to be saved. You're going to get baptized. You're going to get filled with His Holy Spirit. And you're going to yield to His will. So God has a will. And we have a will. You know, Jesus, when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Not my will, but yours." So Jesus had his own will. And he was praying to the Lord to try and get out of this cross. He knew that it was going to be painful. And probably past the cross, and when he got thrown into hell, covered in everybody's sins, because the ordinance of handwriting was written against us, was nailed to the cross. And so he went to hell as the most sinful person that ever walked. And he wasn't happy about that. I don't think anybody would. And he prayed to the Father and said, "Is there any other way?" He said, "Not my will, but yours." And the Father said, "No, we've got a path to go." And Jesus, he dusted himself off, and with joy, great joy, he went to the cross. Because he, all he desired to do was his Father's will. And if you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will warfare against everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and he will burn it up so that you don't have any opposing ideas in your head. You won't have any voices saying to you, go this way, go that way. But you'll be led by the Holy Spirit. You will yield your will to the Holy Spirit. And the spiritual side of you will have dominance. And your will and your mind will be in the things of God. And God can do everything to your broken mind. You may have a wonderful mind. You may have a broken mind. You may have a dysfunctional brain, but that's okay. You might have taken drugs and filled yourself with alcohol, burnt that many brain cells up. It's not funny. But God can do miraculous things because through the Spirit, he can do all things. He can do a creative miracle. He can do things far above what you could imagine with your broken mind. If you can lend your will, yield your will to him. And do that by going after everything that poses its will against God, that influences your life and your emotions. As we all know, your emotions are the things you experience: happiness, joy, hate, anger, fear, anxiety. These are part of your emotions. And God wants to take the negative parts of you, and he wants to cover them in his love and his glory. You know, the Bible says that God is a God of war, and he can kindle his anger towards unrighteousness. So all of these emotions like anger, hate, war, dislike, sadness, they're all part of us, and they are attributes of God if you read the Bible. But they need to be yielded in the right way. The enemy wants to put fear into us that, you know, we can't please God. But God wants to put love in us, knowing that he wants to look after us. You know, you'll see that there's a fear that the enemy wants to put in us that says that we are not worthy. Now, that fear can continue on once you're saved. And once you're praying and seeking God and reading your Bible and trying to go forward, there's that nagging fear that you're not going to shine up, that you're not going to meet, you're not going to come to God's standard. Well, God says, I've got grace for you, free unmerited favor. And I can wrap my love and my confidence around your emotions and give you stability. So some people, you know, they have a lot of instability because of their emotions. But if you pray in tongues, God will give you peace and joy. You know, all of these things can envelop or wrap around your soul so that you have stability, you have functionality, and you have will to follow God. And the enemy can throw all sorts of horrific things at you. The fear of death, the fear of sickness. But you can overcome that because of faith. Because God gives you hope. That's another part of your emotions. It comes out of your emotions is hope. So the enemy, if he can steal the hope in your life, then faith can't form. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if there's no hope, there's no substance, no faith. So the enemy tries to steal your hope. He tries to tell you you're not going to have it. You're not going to achieve the things that God has said you can have. He tries to steal your hope so that you have no faith. You know, if you go to the cupboard and you see it's empty, there's no way in the world in 5 minutes' time you're going to go back to the cupboard and expect something there. Your hope has been dashed. It's empty. The cupboard's bare. But Jesus said, doesn't matter if your cupboard's bare, because of the Spirit and because of what Jesus is, He's your bread, and He can provide for you natural things from the spiritual realm. He did it when He fed the 5,000 and the 4,000 people with fishes and loaves. He created something out of nothing through the spiritual realm so that He could actually feed people. And their hope in God was risen because they saw what Jesus could do. They saw what the faith of God can do. So in your mind is the operation of your brain, right? And your will is something that's formed and you come to the conclusion when wherever you go, whatever decision you make, right, is based on past and present experience. But if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, your will be guided by the Holy Spirit. Your will be guided by God and His Word, because your hope will be in Him and your will be yielded to Him. God will always, whenever, if you're full of God, and that's really important to be full of God, if you've prayed yourself up into a place where you're starting to be full of God, you can hear His voice. And the Bible says, harden not your heart. When you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit daily, harden not your heart like they did in the wilderness. Have faith towards God. When God says, I can do this for you, have faith. Harden not your heart and don't become an unbeliever, a person with unbelief in themselves. You will speak to Christians and we say, you know, God can do this. And they say, I don't know if He can, because I've lived a life of misfires and lucky dips, and I don't know when God's going to turn up and when He's not going to turn up. They don't understand how God works. God always wants to give you the victory. He always wants to give you the best. He only has good gifts. But through our life circumstances, we limit God through our ability to believe. It's not about God. He's already done the stuff. He's already filled all of the bank accounts for you of life. All you've got to do is have the belief to go and make a withdrawal. And you do that by walking in the Spirit, seeing what God can do for you, and then your emotions become wrapped in God's love and in His glory and His presence. And you walk in the glory of God. That's what you do. That's the functionality of a Christian. Is not to be defeated, but to be more than victorious. And we do that by the Spirit. We can't be a will worshipper. A will worshipper is a person that says, I can give up cigarettes anytime I want. All I've got to do is decide to do it, because my willpower is strong. That's will worship. That's saying, my will is strong. No. The way to work is to humble yourself and soften yourself towards God, so that when He wants you to do something, you jump to attention and you do it with great joy. And you're not following your own will. You know, you don't even have the will to do anything unless God gives it to you. Your whole life without God is doomed to fail. Your whole life, even if you're rich and you got a wife and you got kids and they're all healthy, your whole life without God is doomed to fail. Without God's presence, without His love, without His Spirit guiding you, you are eventually doomed to fail. You might get up the road a little further than other people, but you will eventually run out of energy and your whole mind, will, and emotions will be wrecked. You might get through life without any sickness, no disease. You've got a wife and you had a great marriage. You've got kids, you've got grandkids, and everything's going great. But inside, your heart is hard as a rock because it hasn't been softened by the love of God. And you die maybe rich, but poor in the spirit, poor in your will, in your emotions, and your mind. And I've found lots of people who think that they're really great because they can withstand life's problems because they have strong constitution. Well, that's energy that they have, but it's not going to sustain them all the way through life and cover every base. But the Holy Spirit, He can do that for you. If you'll yield yourself to Him, He can guide and lead you into every single truth. He can guide and lead you into every single situation that looks like it's doomed to fail. So if you yield your mind and your will and your emotions to the Spirit, you'll get somewhere. So, you know, our whole life is the sum of our history and what we're doing now. Who are speaking into our life? The people that are speaking to your life, they influence your philosophy of life. They influence every part of your life. Books, TV, music, individuals in your life, family, they all individually, they all in some way influence you. But to have the Holy Spirit exclusively influence you is life and life more abundantly, and in every part, full quality of life. The Bible says we have a river of life flowing out of us. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors and sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out from me. It's a song we used to sing. And it's absolutely biblically true. And I have walked in that river of life. After I prayed in tongues enough for 5 hours a day, after doing that for about 5 years, you know, I progressively saw life and life more abundantly flow into my life and then be able to flow out of me, rivers flowing out of me into other people's lives. When I put my hands on people, a river of life flows out of me into them, a flow from the kingdom of God, a flow that comes from the throne room of God, a clear river of life, untainted by men's religious ideas and philosophies. It hasn't been changed, and it comes out pure and it transforms people's lives. Because I position myself. All I did, I'm going to yield myself to God. I'm going to give myself over completely to God. I'm no longer going to follow my own path. I'm no longer have my own ideas. I'm no longer going to have my own formulated plans of life and future plans. I'm just going to throw myself at the feet of God and say, "What would you want me to be?" And I will yield myself in every way possible. And if I can't do that, you will give me the ability to do it. That was my game plan. So I sat down. After 25 years of playing church, I sat down and I started praying in tongues for 5 hours a day. I figured that would help. I figured that was a really good game plan. And I started praying, and every day I just reported to, I had a spare room in my house. My children had grown up and they'd left home. And I had a spare room in my house, and I just went into that room and I sat down on a little lounge. And I just prayed for 5 hours a day. I did it in sections. I'd pray for 3 hours, and then go and have lunch, and then in the afternoon I'd pray for another 2 hours. I put my headphones on, listen to the Bible over and over again, over and over again, and I just pray in tongues, and I just close my eyes and just mark the time. I called it plowing the field, just up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I just thought about the Bible while I listened to it, because I needed something to interest me, something to take my mind off of the just sitting there and doing something. I just prayed, and then I had my mind on the Word of God. I figured that was a really good plan. You know, I could pray in tongues and just stare into space, but my mind would wander and I'd be thinking about all sorts of things. You know, and the Lord said to me, as long as you're not thinking about off things, it's okay by Him. So, you know, I'm thinking about day, what's, you know, my life and situations and all this stuff. But then I came to an idea, if I put my headphones on and listen to the Bible, I'm covering every base. I mean, I really went for it. I really did. I covered as many bases as I could. I was sitting there in nice comfort, praying in tongues and listening to the Word of God. I was entertaining my mind, my will and my emotions, my soul. I was entertaining it with the Word of God while the Spirit was going to warfare against everything that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, every stronghold, every system of thought that was seated in my heart was being attacked, destroyed, dismantled and taken away, and the Word of God was being replaced, and faith, hope and love was being put in and replaced with despair, hopelessness and defeatedness. You know, I was really feeling defeated after 25 years of trying to help people, trying to encourage them, trying to say to them, you know, God can do this. God can bless you. You know, God can heal you. But they got sick and they died. And they got sick and they stayed sick. They were miserable and they stayed miserable. They were, you know, they just ran out of puff and they eventually couldn't stay in the church and they walked away from God because they couldn't see Him giving them the victories. And I felt sorry for them. I prayed for about 45 minutes every day for the 25 years I was in the Lord. About 45 minutes every day, my whole family and I. And I was able to stay alive, stay afloat. But I couldn't get anybody else to do that. I couldn't get anybody else who wasn't praying, who wasn't reading their Bible. You know, people are defeated by the things of the world. It wears them down. But if their mind and their will and their emotions are wrapped around the power of the Holy Spirit, they can go places. Do you know, I'll let you in on a marvelous secret. This is an amazing thing to me. You know, when I, in the 25 years I was going to church, there was a period of time where I was mucking around with another brother and they tied a rope around me and swung me from a tree and I pulled the muscle in my back. I tore the muscle and it hurt like crazy. And I could hardly stand up. And I was at home and I had to go to church and I could hardly get out of bed. And I thought to myself, if I get out of bed and I just walk in faith and go to church, God's going to heal me. So I get up and I go to church in absolute pain. I could hardly put my foot in the clutch. It was so bad. My back was spasming. It was horrible. And I went to the church and I walked in and I sat down. And Donna's there with me, and she's saying, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, I'll be right, I'll be right." I was trying to walk in faith. And then anyway, the pastor's giving a nice talk about whatever it was, and I'm suffering pain, and I'm going, "I'm going to go down the front, and I'm going to have some prayer, and I'm going to get healed." And then the time for prayer, I go down the front, and they pray for me, and nothing happens. And I go home, and I'm in agony. And a brother comes to me and says, "We can pray for an hour over your back and I'm sure it'll be healed." Well, you know, that didn't help. And I was really defeated, really sad about the whole thing. I couldn't understand. I thought I ticked all the boxes of faith. I went to the meeting even though my mind was saying, "Stay home, it's too much pain." I was walking in faith. I was hoping God would come and meet me halfway. Didn't happen. So, you know, I had to go home and I had to rest, and after about 2 weeks or so, my back was better. I never got the healing. I did everything possible. I walked in faith. I tried to stay positive and nothing happened. But now I've prayed myself into a place where people come up to me and, you know, they say, "I've got cancer." I say, "That's okay, no problem. God's going to heal you. And they go, really? I mean, these people are not in faith. They're not thinking negatively because they're wanting me to pray for them, but they haven't got great faith. They're not plowing through something saying, I walked through snow for 20 miles to come and see you. They didn't do any of that. They just heard about me, Don and I, and then someone got in contact and asked us to go and pray for them or whatever, or they brought them over to our house or whatever. And I pray for them, and within a couple of minutes, the power of God comes over them, and they get healed. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So for all of my positive thinking, it did not shine up to the dunamis, the dynamite power that you can carry from God. So all of the faith that you can conjure up in your head, and even though you may try, all you're doing is using your soul and your will and your emotions to froth yourself up into something that you haven't got, that you have no, that you don't seem to have access to. Now, God operates in faith, okay, and sometimes he heals people. You know, I've operated in faith, right, real faith, and got nothing from God. I've operated, I remember once, you know, I got glandular fever. I was as flat as a pancake. I couldn't pray or anything. I had nobody prayed for me. They were useless. They didn't even come and ask me. They just didn't know how to take me. I was once super on fire. Next thing, I'm just staring into space and I'm flat as a pancake. And that lasted for months and months and months. And then we went to a house meeting. We're sitting there and they're showing a video on people who have been healed from all sorts of things. And someone said, oh, I was healed from depression. And I said to myself, I sort of mumbled it to myself, I wish that had happened to me. That's about it. That's all I did. I wish it had happened to me. And instantly, it was like someone came into my room of my life, opened the curtains up, and the sun shone right in. And instantly, all of this depression from glandular fever left instantly. And I lit up like a Christmas tree. I lit up like a massive light bulb. And I was so embarrassed from going from a flat, you know, wet blanket to being super, super happy. I got up and walked outside because I was too embarrassed. I was too self-conscious with the transformation. I went outside and it was at night time and I'm out in the front yard going, thank you, thank you, thank you, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I went back in and they'd finished the meeting and they were all having coffee and biscuits and they looked at me and they said, you've been healed. I said, yes, I have, praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what it felt like. It felt like I was born again. It felt like the day I received the Holy Spirit. It felt like all the burdens of life had left me. And I was happy. I was happy, man, I was happy. You know, it wasn't until after a couple of years later I realized that I was oppressed by demons. I was oppressed by sickness. I was oppressed by depression. And that was all demonic and I didn't really even know. But when it left, the demons were chased away sovereignly by God. He just touched me. Probably sent an angel, touched me, and I was healed. And so that was a lucky dip type situation. You know, one day I'm praying for my back and I didn't get a healing. One day I'm sitting there and I'm not full of faith and I'm going, I wish that would happen to me. Bang, I get instantly healed. It's all lucky dip stuff. And I could never figure it out. You know, sometimes God sees our suffering and he just comes and he sovereignly steps in. He sees if we can get the victory and if we can't, he steps in and he heals us. And we don't understand all the process. And we come up with all these different theologies. But you know, after praying for 5 hours a day, for years and years, I can honestly say that the power of God trumps everything. You know, all of your really good positive thinking, that helps, but the power of God is what trumps everything. And if you walk in the power of God, you have a great chance of seeing people set free and getting their victories. It doesn't cut it with nice shiny words, great words of encouragement, the power of positive thinking doesn't work. The power of God works. And then all we need is the other component. We need the person to be willing to open their heart up to receive. And if they can receive, if they can be a recipient of power, then God's power can flood into them. So first you need the power to be able to give to somebody, and they need the ability to open their heart up, even though they've been damaged by disappointment, they suffer from unbelief. If they can open their heart up a little bit, God can flood into their life and do something marvelous. You know, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the righteousness is right way of doing things. Peace comes from the enemy being bashed up in your life, and you have peace in your life. There's no longer the enemy comes and attacks you. He may come in a season. He left Jesus after he was in the wilderness for a season, which meant he come back, right, and harass Jesus, and he's going to harass you. After, through the power of God, you maintain a righteous life, then the enemy has not very many opportunities to mess with you. And every now and then he formulates a plan to get you into a precarious situation where you don't line up with everything, and then he makes his move. But because you're wise, you actually reverse the situation through the blood of Jesus, and you become holy and righteous, and the enemy has no legal right anymore, and you chase him off with the power of God. That's the way it works. That's the way I operate. That's the way Don and I walk now. We walk in the power of God. We walk in the glory of God. We walk in that river of life. We're going to talk about that pretty soon. Anyway, we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.